Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit, and we're so excited to be here with Greg Walgenbach, Director of Life, Justice, and Peace for the Diocese of Orange. The topic of today's show is Catholic social teaching and the good news of Jesus. It indeed is great news as it relates to social justice, as it relates to social teaching, and how much Jesus loves all of us, but especially the poor. Welcome to the show, Greg.
Thanks for having me.
It's wonderful. And you have what an incredible background you have. 20 years of experience in cross-cultural ministry, college, university, campus, parish, and diocesan levels. And you started out as a Baptist pastor. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I've had a long journey in ministry and over a period of time, different things happening in my life. I did college campus ministry for a while with a group called InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. And then I ended up in East LA College working with a group up there. People jokingly referred to me as the other Father G because Father Greg Boyle was teaching classes at East LA College and I was another guy there doing ministry. And I didn't bump into him while I was there, but that was kind of a joke among some of the students. But I ended up serving as a Baptist pastor in East LA for about 3.5 years and had a wonderful experience there, a great congregation, great group. And it was a real learning experience. Went to Fuller Theological Seminary up in Pasadena. And it was just during those years of studying church history and doing ministry and being a part of several church bodies that were going through their own growing pains and some divisions that I was really increasingly drawn towards a Catholic understanding of our faith.
But first you became an Anglican priest?
That's right. I was attending a midweek Eucharist at an Episcopal church nearby for my own just spiritual feeding. And I had been preaching out of the lectionary and doing the daily office, and the Catholic rhythms of prayer were very important to my own spirituality during this journey. And so when I realized that it was time to leave the Baptist congregation, that was kind of a logical next step for us, was being pulled in this direction towards into the Episcopal Church. And I ended up getting a job working with youth and family up in Bakersfield at an Episcopal church up there. And while I was up there, I went through the process of ordination to go from being a Baptist pastor into an Anglican priest for a couple of years.
Now, what led you to become a Catholic?
So, as you can imagine, for most people, it's a very simple and a very complicated answer. The simple answer was that God was calling me into it, and I had to respond. And then there's a lot more to the story. But I was drawn to sacramental theology. I was drawn to our Blessed Mother in prayer. I was drawn to the unity that the Church has in its teaching and in its life together. Even though we have a lot of, you know, like any church body, we have a lot of disagreements, and we have a whole range of different people. And like Joyce said, you know, that's the Church of Here Comes Everybody. And yet we maintain this unity and keep it together, and we pursue following Jesus together, and that's a inspiring thing. And then finally, Catholic social teaching was a part of that journey for me too. In my different parts of ministry, I was social justice and pro-life work and a call to the poor were always a part of my understanding of the faith and were important to me. And to see at times from a distance, at times more up close, the commitment of Catholics to the whole range of being committed to life as a whole from beginning to end was very compelling to me, and that was an important part of that journey as well.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're here at Christ Cathedral with Greg Walgenbach, who is Director of Life, Justice, and Peace for the Diocese of Orange. We're talking about Catholic social teaching. And why are you so passionate about Catholic social teaching and the importance of really making a difference in the poor?
Jesus. In a word, Jesus is why I'm passionate about it. I had a wonderful upbringing in the church, and primarily in the Baptist evangelical churches, and had a love for Scripture, had a love for the people of God, had a love for ministry. And I learned a lot about service. I learned an incredible amount from my parents about hospitality. My parents, we almost always had somebody living in our house, a boarder, sometimes a relative, often a local college student or a missionary who was in town. Or my parents are incredibly generous, hospitable people. And I learned a lot about about what hospitality looks like. But it wasn't till the end of high school and coming into college that I really started to come in. My faith came into its own. And a big part of that was rereading the scriptures and suddenly coming to realize just how much love for the poor, God's heart for the poor was at the center of so much of scripture. And I realized that I had missed that in a lot of ways. I hadn't really grasped that growing up for whatever reason, even though my parents often lived it out. But I didn't often get that. I didn't see that in scripture. And so I remember being at a study of the Gospel of Mark in college, and where we were just reading through, we spent spring break, and we read through the Gospel. We were over at Catalina Island, and just beginning to really, in a real face-to-face way, come to grips with who Jesus is and how Jesus met people where they were and how Jesus especially cared for the outcast and the poor. And that was really it. That was really the beginning of a deep journey into a concern for Catholic social teaching, for social justice, for all these things. Because once you start to grasp the heart of Jesus for the least and the vulnerable and the human person in every moment, you can't stop thinking about it. You can't stop responding, you know.
God loves us so passionately, mm-hmm. and loves us in a way that we can't possibly comprehend, and loves everyone. Mm-hmm. The question is, what is Catholic social teaching? Now, I'm going to read here from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And again, to all the listeners out there, I strongly recommend that you get a copy for your home so that you can not guess about things, but take a look at it. And social teaching is defined as the teaching of the Church on the truth of revelation about human dignity, human solidarity, and the principles of justice and peace, the moral judgments about the economic and social matters required by such truth about the demands of justice and peace. Okay, now that'll be a test. Everyone has to recite that back. But the essence of what it is about love, about making a difference, about treating everyone as if they're Jesus. Because they are. They're the sons and daughters, adopted sons and daughters of Jesus. And we're told by Jesus, and we're told in Scripture, to really put others first, to really be that servant, to make a difference in their lives. And would that be fair to say that that's a huge part of what Catholic social teaching is all about?
Absolutely. It's about the love of our neighbor and the love of God, that great commandment of Jesus. What always comes to mind for me is Matthew 25. This sense of, in as much as you've done it to me, you've done it to, in as much as you've done it to the least of my brethren, or not done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. I don't know if you'd like to read it further. I see you happen
yes,
to have that passage open.
We're going to say to my brothers and sisters and listening audience, as you know, get out your Bibles. They're Catholic Bibles, and we've got the Judgment of the Nations. And this is Matthew 25, starting on verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him and say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you as a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?" And the king will say to them in reply, "Amen, I say to you, whenever you did for one of these least of my brothers, you did this for me." Mother Teresa talks about this, and I have so many Mother Teresa books. You know, I read about 10 a week, you know, just different portions of them. And I just love her love of the poor and leopards and the outcast and what she did. But she said in Matthew 25, Greg, she said that, you know, there's not too much in Scripture that says exactly what's going to happen when we pass on and meet with the king, meet with Jesus, in terms of the judgment. And one of the big things, as she said, that is right here in black and white in Scripture, is Jesus going to say, "What did you do to the least of my brothers?" You know, one in the diaconate formation, we talked about the invisible poor. We drive by them all the time. They're all around us. They're hurting. They need our help. You know, what is our responsibility as Catholics to make a difference to them?
Yeah, well, the fascinating thing about Matthew 25 is that it does certainly speak immediately to a very individual concern. And as Mother Teresa, who you mentioned, said, you know, people asked her, you know, how did you care for all those thousands of people? And she said, I didn't. I just cared for one and then another one and then another one. And so we have that individual, you know, that responsibility, really the call that we have as disciples to meet that person that's right in front of us. But also in that passage is a kind of a corporate, and this is where it connects with Catholic social teaching. There's a corporate aspect to it, which is the nations are called to account based on this, and the peoples as a whole. You know, God called Israel as a people to be a people of justice and a people who took care of needs. And so there's this great accounting for all the nations and all the peoples. And I think that's where it connects up with Catholic social teaching. We have, as we sometimes refer to it, the two feet of love and action. You know, we have charity and we have justice. So we have that immediate care for the need of the person right in front of us. And then we have the bigger, the additional questions and the larger questions of, you know, why are people in this condition in the first place? And what are those things that are maybe broken in our communities or in our society or at large in the global setting that are keeping people in this position? And what can be done about that? And how can we bring the wisdom of the church? How can we bring the wisdom of humanity to bear on those problems in a larger sense?
This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're with Greg Walgenbach, again, Director of Life, Justice, and Peace for the Diocese of Orange. We'll be right back to talk more about Catholic social teaching. What is it, and why should we care about it? Be right back. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back on our show, Empowered by the Spirit. We're very excited again to have Greg Walgenbach, Director of Life, Justice, and Peace, and we're talking about the richness of Catholic social teaching, the good news of Jesus Christ. The question is, what is Catholic social teaching? And, you know, my brothers and sisters, a great reference is the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, Seven Themes of Catholic Social Teaching, and you know, they talk about it being a rich treasure of wisdom about building a just society and living lives of holiness. And there's seven major themes. And the first one is life and dignity of the human being, of the human person. That life and dignity, it seems like it's right out of the Constitution. You know, pursuit of happiness, the pursuit of life and dignity, of what we as Americans are all about. But certainly we as Catholics, you know, this is so important to focus on the dignity of each human being. And how does that specifically relate to Catholic social teaching?
Well, we often hear one of the themes that we'll get to later on is a preferential option for the poor. And I think this first theme we could talk about in terms of a preferential option for the person or for people, that we often talk about social problems or social issues in terms of issues or problems or the politics or the parties. But we have to remember at the end of the day, as Bishop Vann said in an interview a few months back, you know, it's about the people. And so we have to always come back to this relationship of us as human beings created by God with inherent dignity, with inherent value, that when God created the earth, he said it was good. When he created a man and woman, he said it is very good. and we have this dignity that is inherent to us, and that needs to be at the core of how we approach all of these social issues, is that we always have to bring it back to the person. And so the church has looked at that in a variety of ways. And I think it's an important question up front when we talk about how do we live in the world. And you mentioned it earlier, the question in terms of who is the we that we're talking about. And fundamentally, when we're talking about Catholic social teaching, we're talking about how do we as Catholics, how do we as Christians, how do we live in rightly, faithfully, in a holy way, in a just way in the world. And so here, you know, the issue, some of the issues that fall under this category would be abortion and euthanasia, these very direct attacks to life. And there are other issues that come under there, questions around cloning and embryonic stem cell research. Another issue people forget sometimes is under this category is the death penalty, the taking of sometimes an innocent life in those cases, but also just the taking of a life when it may not be necessary to take that life. And the question of civilians targeted in war, torture. Our bishops bishops recently have referred to immigration as a pro-life issue. When you have death, life and death on the line at the border, when you have migrants that are fleeing, that are dying in the Mediterranean, that's also a life and death issue for people. And so these direct attacks, these direct threats to the human person, we have to pay attention to them not as issues, but really begin to figure out who are the people here we're talking about.
Greg, I know that these are incredibly powerful issues, important issues to our listeners. And for everyone out there, I'm sure that as you listen to this, you're thinking to yourself, yeah, but how can I make a difference? What can I do? And there's so many different areas. I mean, from abortion to the death penalty to immigration to all these areas. And are we asking people to get involved in every single area, or what would be your guidance to our listeners out there as it relates to what they should do, what their part is?
Yeah, I think, it comes back to listening to the call of Jesus. And one of the ways to listen to that is to listen to who are the people that you come across, who are the people that are in front of you. And we have people and situations that we come across that we are called to directly address. Now, knowing myself and knowing my friends, you know, sometimes we can avoid certain situations. And so it's very easy not to come into contact with certain folks or certain situations. And so there may be a call there to get out of our comfort zone sometimes and cross barriers or cross into other neighborhoods or get around people who are different from us. And there's ways that that can help us to hear better the call of God to address others. But everybody has different areas of passion. You know, we have a wonderful pro-life ministry in our diocese, and we have crisis pregnancy centers that we work with and shelters and clinics like Obria, and a lot of folks are involved in volunteering at those centers, in helping women who are in crisis pregnancies. And we recognize part of being concerned about the human person is recognizing that abortion, for example, is a direct threat to life of the unborn child. But there are all these other lives that are involved there too, like the life of the mother and the life of the families that are involved and where they find themselves. And suddenly you find yourself, if you talk to folks that work at crisis pregnancy centers, you're not just talking about abortion, but you're talking about domestic violence, and you're talking about somebody who doesn't feel like they can put food on the table for another child, or human trafficking issues. And so, you know, once you start talking about people, the human person, you start talking about a lot of different things because our lives are complex.
And we're here at Christ Cathedral on Powered by the Spirit with Greg Walgenbach, the head of Catholic Social Teaching and at the diocese here. And we're talking about right now the area of life and dignity of the human person in so many different areas. And text your friends. You perhaps have been talking about some of these issues of abortion and immigration and death penalty. And text your friends, have them listen in. And one of the most important things is ask yourself, what is God calling of you today? Again, let's go to Scripture. Let's take a look at Matthew 7. Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, the door will be open. The question was so important for me is to pray and be one with the Lord and ask Jesus, what do you want me to do? What are you passionate about? What am I passionate about? And my brothers and sisters, what are you passionate about? Because the reality is God calls us to do certain things. It doesn't mean that you feel guilty that you haven't done 50 things, but what is the one thing, perhaps, my brothers and sisters, that God is calling you to do? And I think that's a great starting point, wouldn't you say, Greg?
Absolutely, yeah. Being able to connect up with people and really to be attentive to that call is very important. And one of the ways, you know, I can put in a shameless plug for our office, one of the purposes of our office in the diocese is to help people connect to resources and to opportunities to volunteer, to help to organize these efforts at parishes and in their ministry groups and prayer groups. And so I really would encourage people, if they are interested in getting involved in any of these areas, to feel free to contact our office of Life, Justice, and Peace here at the Diocese of Orange.
As we look at James, the letter of St. James, we see in chapter 1, starting at verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives it to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it'll be given to you. So people are asking, well, what should I do? We'll pray about it, ask for wisdom, ask for guidance, and God will give you the direction and call Greg at the diocese.
And one other way I would say that we can enter into this is, as you mentioned about Catholic social teaching, is really learn more about Catholic social teaching. Study the scripture about it. Study the church documents on Catholic social teaching. And we cannot all possibly be involved in active advocacy on every issue across the board. Although, and I can talk more about this later if we have time, the Catholic Legislative Network with the diocese and other, with the California Conference of Bishops and other opportunities are there for us to engage on many issues in a very simple way. But we need to be somewhat aware of what these issues are and how the church thinks about these various issues. And if we're not involved in all of them in a direct advocacy way, we can at least be involved in a way of being able to speak truth to others when these topics come up, and to be able to have an understanding of the love of God when it comes to these issues. As you know, in our culture right now, we are in a very politicized environment. And so most of the issues that fall under Catholic social teaching are very hot political arguments in our culture. And as Catholics, part of being people who love the person is to be able to know how to think Christianly about these issues, think faithfully about these issues, and to be able to respond in those moments when we hear people making really hateful comments about pro-lifers or about immigrants or about these other situations, these other arguments that come out. Are we able to just jump in and respond and say, that's not how Christians talk about people? God loves people. People are good. And we need to stand up for one another. And we need to have these arguments even in a civil way and love people in the process.
The second theme of Catholic social teaching is the call to family, community, and participation. And marriage and family being a central part of this. Is this where same-sex marriage would come in?
I would say so. I mean, the questions around that, the questions around the family as a basic unit, the question about how we participate in these various spheres, from that very small sphere of the domestic church, the unit and of mother and father and family and extended family. As you know, culturally, those are different from culture to culture about what we mean when we talk about the basic unit of family. My wife's family is from Mexico. Her parents are from Durango. And so when I talk about my family, it's sometimes different than when she's talking about family and who that includes. So it includes that whole sphere from that going on out. And the question of how do we think about that environment where children can thrive, where our communities can have stability, and where we can welcome life and be hospitable to life? All those questions fall under there.
Well, we certainly hope you've been enjoying this program thus far. And again, text or call your neighbors and friends to have them tune in. This is, again, Empowered by the Spirit at Christ Cathedral, talking about Catholic social teaching. This show is a collaboration between the Sower Ministry and our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts. We know the Holy Spirit is calling you to listen in. We'd love to hear from you. What type of programs and topics would you like us to really cover? Contact us at deaconsteve@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's deaconsteve@spiritfilledhearts.org. We want this program to be everything you'd like it to be. We'll be right back to talk more about the seven themes of Catholic social teaching.
Collapsing was much softer. Still falling always hurt. Only after sensing love for always.
Welcome back to Empowered by the Spirit. And we're here talking about Catholic social teachings and with Greg Walgenbach, Director of Life, Justice, and Peace for the Diocese of Orange. The third theme of Catholic social teaching is rights and responsibilities. And we've talked about a right of life, but you know, again, as our listeners are really ascertaining what is God calling them to do, they have responsibility to the poor, responsibility to make a difference, responsibility to change laws, responsibility to get involved with the legislature and all kinds of things. Tell us what this means, rights and responsibilities, Greg.
Yeah, this category, I think, gets at this balance that we have. And I think sometimes this comes out in our political arguments. Some sides or some people want to emphasize that, you know, all the responsibility that we have to do as individuals. Other sides want to emphasize all the rights that are afforded to us. And sometimes we get in this tug of war. Is it responsibility or is it the rights? And Catholic Church teaching says, yes, we have rights and we have responsibilities. And we need to be attentive to both of those. And as individuals and as a society, we are responsible to one another. You know, I'll come back to your Mother Teresa affinity. Mother Teresa said, you know, we have forgotten that we belong to one another. And so that's a key part of this. We belong to one another. Therefore, we have a responsibility to one another to look out for each other's basic needs, to come to each other's aid when we're in crisis. John the 23rd in his Pacem in Terris, he had a list of rights in that document. He talks about the right to live, the right to bodily integrity, the means necessary for proper development of life, particularly food and clothing and shelter, medical care, rest, social services to be looked after in the event of ill health or disability, unemployment, education. So it's a lot of these things that that are very basic and core to what it is to be human, to be able to learn, to be able to have a roof over your head. Actually, when Pope Francis was in Bolivia recently speaking to the popular movements, he called it the, well, in Spanish, it was los tres T's, the techo, tierra, and trabajo. But in English, it also works the three L's. So we have lodging, labor, and land. And so those were three things that he highlighted as being really essential for people, that you got to have housing, you got to have a roof over your head, you have to have some place to be and some connection to the earth and the resources, and we have to have meaningful work to provide for our families.
I have to say, very impressive rolling of the R's too, Greg. You obviously speak Spanish well. You know, let's take a look at James again. Get out your Bibles. James 2, starting in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister has nothing to wear and has no food for the day, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat well, but you do not give them the necessities of the body, what good is it? So also faith of itself, if it does not have works, is dead. You know, the responsibility is if our brothers and sisters do not have clean running water, and we're part of our ministry at Spirit-Filled Hearts is associated with Wells of Life and building wells in Uganda.
Wonderful.
Because 1 billion people don't have adequate supply of water, clean water. We just can't turn our backs on people here in Orange County, people abroad, whatever it is. We have responsibility to make a difference. And during the diaconate program, Deacon Frank Chavez, I'll give a shout out to, who's in charge of the diaconate here in the Orange Diocese, would constantly stress, if not you, then whom? Mm-hmm. And my brothers and sisters, if not you, then whom? Who is other than you? You know, you have the responsibility that God has put in your heart to make a difference. And, you know, so many times we think that, you know, you have to go to Africa or have to go here or there or whatever, but it's right in our backyards. We have over 35,000 people that are homeless here in Orange County, sleeping in cars, you know, sleeping under bridges, whatever it might be. And most of them are women and children.
Yeah, and you mentioned water in Africa. And there are girls and young women who spend 8 hours a day, 8 hours a day going to get water for their family, going, walking over there, getting it, bringing it back. And I'll make another plug for Catholic Relief Services, which is a great organization that works as well to work for sustainable development and to mitigate a lot of these problems and around the world. But when they're able to do that, then these girls, instead of lugging water around 8 hours a day, they can go to school. And they can be with their families and all those things. And but you're right. Locally here, you know, we have the things that come to mind immediately. You know, praying at a clinic against abortion. We have trying to be a light, trying to speak up for the unborn. And at the same time, we have to realize our other responsibilities around that. What are the reasons why people are in this desperate situation where a mother would even consider taking the life of their child? Well, there are a lot of things going on for this person in this moment. moment, and how are we coming alongside of them to, as Pope Francis loves to use the word accompaniment, how are we accompanying women who are in crisis pregnancy? How are we accompanying folks who are homeless? What are we doing to not just address issues, but to come alongside people that are really struggling in these moments?
It's so, so important, my brothers and sisters, to really give your heart to Jesus. And when you give your heart to Jesus, you give your heart to the poor, because Jesus leads you to the poor, leads you to those that really are invisible to the everyday person. And that leads us to the fourth area of Catholic social teaching, the option for the poor and the vulnerable. You know, so many times we don't understand the fact that the first option is the needs of the poor and the vulnerable above everything else.
And this, to me, this is the one that gets us, and I think the reason Pope Francis talks about this so much is because this really gets us to the heart of the Father, the heart of God, which is the heart for humanity, and that our test of our love for humanity and how much it reflects God's love is really with the least and the little ones. Just reading from, I believe it's this, while we're broadcasting here, this Sunday's readings on Jesus taking a child and placing it in the midst of the disciples. And people look at that and say, you know, children are open, or they're open to God, they're cute, or all these other reasons. But fundamentally, in that culture, a child was the least. They had no status economically. They had no status in that culture. And so Jesus puts this child in the midst and says, this is the test of our understanding of what it means to be kingdom people, is to be attentive to the needs of the least. And that's not only a reflection of our love for humanity, but it's a reflection of our love for God. Dorothy Day said, we love God as much as the person that we love the least.
Amen, amen, amen. We're here with Greg Walgenbach, who is director of life and justice and social teaching here at the Diocese of Orange. And you just helped me tonight with my homily, by the way, so I hope you don't mind that. I know when this show airs, this weekend homily will be long in the past, but in any case, thank you for doing that. And you know, I have to tell our listeners a little story. And you know, the poor are everywhere. We know that. You know, they're out in front of supermarkets. They're, you know, they're on the street corners. But you know, if you look for them, you can find them everywhere. I was doing shopping, and I was in a hurry, and we were having a bunch of people over. And I was down in a very wealthy area in Newport Beach, and I was going in the grocery store, and obviously someone who was poor was there trying to flag me down and waved to me and said, hey, buddy, do you have a minute? I didn't even look at him, Greg. I'm so embarrassed to say that. I didn't even look at him. You know, maybe many of you also do the same kind of thing, in which you just, you know, you see people in the street corner, you drive right by them, you don't pay any attention. And I just went in and, you know, did my thing. I was late. I was in a hurry. And God stopped me in my tracks and said, I placed that man there for you to love and to minister to. Mm-hmm. And gave me amount of money to give him to. And I went back out and I looked for him. I couldn't find him at first. And then he didn't say a word to me. And I walked up to him and said, I apologize for walking past you. And because the greatest dignity you can give someone is to listen to them and to talk to them and to get to know them and to call them by name. And I said, you know, I was praying in the store and God told me to give you this, and I gave him amount of money, and he starts crying, and he said, I had been praying all day to be able to go to a motel and not sleep in the park tonight, and this is the amount of money I needed in order to do that.
That's beautiful, and I think we all have those stories of having blown it, having not given the person the dignity, and needing to confess that, own up to that, and then say, God, change my heart. God, make
Amen.
Me a person of compassion.
Amen.
Jesus, when he says, talking about the poor is overwhelming, and sometimes even talking about the poor can in of itself be dehumanizing to people, because there's no people called the poor. There are just people, and people who are struggling. But Jesus said, you know, the poor you will always have with you. And sometimes that's used as sort of a way to say, well, there's always going to be poverty. There's always going to be poor people. But I think the emphasis is everything. And what Jesus said to his disciples was, the poor you will always have with you.
Amen.
And that we are the people who are, as Francis says, we are called to be a poor church, a church of the poor and for the poor. And the poor are not people out there, but it's us. We are the body of Christ. We are the people who are looking out for one another. And these are our brothers and sisters.
I was in Hawaii a couple years ago, and I don't know if you've been to Oahu or Waikiki, but
I aspire to go to Hawaii someday.
So. But there are so many poor there and homeless that more than any place you can ever imagine. Mm. And I was with a local parish, Catholics, who feed them at 6 a.m. on Saturday morning. And there was hundreds there. Mm. And we fed them food. But one of the most important things we did is I went around individually and prayed for them individually, along with giving them food, giving them encouragement, giving them hope. And that's a big part of what Catholic social teaching is all about, my brothers and sisters, is to love them.
We have wonderful ministries in our diocese that work with the poor, Mercy House. You know, we also have the Orange County Rescue Mission. Catholic Worker House is a beautiful ministry tied to the Catholic Worker tradition that meets with, doesn't just hand out, but lives life with people who are struggling on the streets and knows them by name, gives them the dignity that they deserve. And so many people across the diocese are working on this, and there are lots of opportunities to get involved.
How exciting. Come right back. We're going to finish up the Catholic social teaching and the seven key themes. Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. We're back with Greg Walgenbach, Director of Life, Justice, and Peace for the Diocese of Orange. We've been talking about Catholic social teaching. There are three more. One of the ones that I personally am really passionate about is the dignity of work and the rights of workers. And in our parish at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Parish in Irvine, over the last, I think about 4 years now, we've had an employment initiative helping them with resumes, networking, interview skills. One of the themes that the 90% who are employed, let's say, have responsibility for the 10% who are not. Now, I know the dignity of work also involves unions and fair wages and so forth. I think the dignity of work also is a big part of helping people understand how to get jobs and how to help their families by being able to effectively communicate their skills so that they are attractive to employers.
Yeah, I think that's part of helping to help people understand the dignity of work, and that we need to provide jobs for people. We need to have an economy that works for the worker and for the average family and for especially for the poor, as we just talked about. But we, you know, part of developing folks' capacity for to be involved in the jobs that are available, even as we look to create more jobs and that sort of thing. So those kind of ministries at parishes are really, really helpful.
So my push to you here on air is to form a network throughout the diocese. And I know that we're in the Diocese of San Diego and the Archdiocese of Los Angeles with this show, too. And I'm just challenging all the deacons out there. I'm challenging everyone out there. Don't sit on the sidelines now. You know, it's so difficult now to get jobs. You know, I mean, for every job, there's hundreds of applications often, and the ability to be able to communicate effectively, to have create their marketing, one-minute marketing, all that is important. But the dignity of work and rights of workers also involves a fair and decent wage, which, you know, as you relate to Southern California, if you don't have a fair and decent wage, you can't even live here. Mm-hmm. And how is that involved in terms of your office and what types of things go into that?
Yeah, so we do advocacy work around wage legislation, minimum wage, trying to raise the minimum wage, also pursuing the concept of a living wage, which has been a part of our Catholic social teaching concept from when it's been articulated. And this is an interesting area because in 1891 with Rerum Novarum, Pope Leo VIII, that was really the first modern Catholic social teaching document. And that kind of, you trace the modern Catholic social teaching tradition back to that. And he was responding to the Industrial Revolution and the vast changes that were happening and really the crisis among working people to maintain, you know, with all the economies completely changing and the ways of life for families and mobility and all those things were just completely, there was a complete upheaval. And he was responding to that as well as the crisis crisis that was happening politically of how do we defend workers, how are we concerned for their rights, how do people come together to fight for their rights, and unions and just wages and workers' associations, all of those things were wrapped into it. So this is really an issue that harkens back to why the modern Catholic social teaching was formulated. And there's a pastoral issue here too, because work for men and women is really important to our identity, to who we are. Having work or not having work, sometimes there's shame built around, you know, unemployment and not being able to provide for our family. And we need to just be very aware of how Jesus is calling us to minister to people in these ministries, even as we are seeking to provide jobs. How are we looking out for the human person caught up in those situations?
So I'm going to give a shout out here to our producer, Michael Amola, who can greet you on Monday mornings at 7 a.m. at IHOP on the corner of Jeffrey University and Michelson. Okay, we'll get that right. University and Michelson. University turns into Jeffrey if you keep going, but right off the 405 freeway. And so I just can't begin to tell you how passionate we are about this, because people are so depressed. I mean, men and women, but men who see themselves as the provider often, they just feel, you know, like you say, shame. They feel worthless. And we've been blessed. You know, I've been executive in healthcare, actually ran a business of recruiting for many years and have hired literally thousands of people. And I've learned over the years, you know, what people are looking for, employers, in terms of how to communicate skills, how to communicate accomplishments, what you've done, how to package your thought process to make a difference. If you have those skills, and my brothers and sisters, there's a lot of you out there that are part of human resources or part of management teams in which you hire people, don't sit on the sidelines. I mean, help blue-collar people, white-collar, it doesn't matter, because everyone's kind of in the same boat. And so many times in this economy, people have been out of work for 10, 20, 30 years. Excuse me, have been employed for 10, 20, 30 years, all of a sudden find themselves out of work, and they don't know what to do. And so, again, that's just one example of things that you can do, my brothers and sisters, as we listen into the show on Catholic social teaching. The sixth area is solidarity, and what does that mean?
Going back to your previous point about coming to the coffee shop, solidarity means we are one human family. It means we're in this together. And all those opportunities we have to come together to support one another, to care for one another. Pope Francis said that from solidarity arises this basic understanding that the universal destination of goods, that sense of creation being for everyone, comes before private property. It comes before all the divisions and all the lines we draw for one another, that fundamentally we are God's creation, and we are called to come together to be a people of faith, a people of love. And at that fundamental solidarity should be the basic, most basic stance that we have together as a human family. And then we work out everything else. Not to say that that all those other things, that private property is illegitimate or that borders are any of that stuff, that's all to be worked out. But our fundamental stance, our fundamental understanding of ourselves as God's creatures, is that we are one human family. And that's really core.
As one human family, we are responsible to work for justice. And how, as Catholics, how do we define that word justice? What does that mean?
You know, justice is that right relationship with the world and with God. I mean, that's one way. There's a lot of definitions for justice, but I think from a Christian perspective, it is fundamentally that being in right community with one another and in right relationship with God. And so in solidarity, we look for people who are being left out of that one human family. We look for situations that are set up that cut away at that one human family, at that togetherness and that kinship that we have with one another. So as we think about solidarity, as we address all these different issues, as we address people's problems, we want to look and see, what is it about this problem? How is it in the midst of this problem, in this context, that we're not being a family together, that we're not being in solidarity with one another? I think this comes out in situations of war, what it means to be peacemakers in the world, what it means to be concerned about global issues around poverty, around hunger, around problems with our economy, and all those things. You know,
where two or more are gathered in my name, and we need to gather together with as one accord, right? Mm-hmm. to do God's will. Yeah. The final theme is care for God's creation. And isn't this an encyclical that Pope Francis wrote about?
Yes, absolutely. And if you haven't yet read Laudato Si on the care of our common home, I'd highly recommend everybody read it. Even before it was released, lots of people had thoughts about it, but hadn't read it yet. And since then, people continue to talk about it. And I really recommend that everybody read it. It's not too long, but it's very readable. Pope Francis is very accessible in his style. And really what he's calling us to do is be attentive to the fact that as human beings, human persons, we are not just some kind of a bubble where we can talk about ourselves in isolation from all else that is. And so as human creatures, we live and move and have our being in God, but also in all of the rest of creation of which we're a part.
Now, we show our respect for Jesus and for God by our stewardship of creation, and we all, again, have responsibility for that. My brothers and sisters, we certainly hope that you've enjoyed this show, and we ask right now that we just put our hearts in the heart of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And Heavenly Father, give us the compassion of Jesus. Give us the love of Jesus for the poor, for the marginalized, for the vulnerable. Lord, may we use our gifts to defend the poor, to help them. May we use our gifts, Lord, to build up the body of Christ by loving them passionately as you love us. We say this through the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And God bless you all. We'll Amen. Look forward to being with you next week at the same time. Greg, thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
God bless you all. Bye-bye.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio.